I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. It's our pal, Kevin McCarthy.
JP.
What's up, Kevin? You're looking good. Nice. Is that a blue room, purple room? What's going on back there?
Yeah, I'm in one of like the little offices here at Fox 5 because I wanted to be able to see you guys. And, I'm just in some back room. It's not a great shot. I'm sorry about that.
Did you borrow one of EB's ties with superheroes on it? Cartoons on it?
Talking about it.
Yeah. When I wear those wacky suits, Cakes, I drive over to Eric's house in the morning around 5:30, and he dresses me, actually. It's really nice.
How many different suits do you have? Are you like Joe Beninati now, who's got like 200 suits?
No, I mean, honestly, I was actually just looking through my suits this morning and wondering, what am I doing? Because I'm wearing the same. I wore this suit yesterday. I don't really have enough clean suits. I need to go through them. It's just, there's a lot going on right now. You know, I need to go through my suits.
Fine. You wear the jacket. You just switch up the shirt and tie.
GP. Yeah, I know. I just want to change it up sometimes.
Are you still wearing the Chucks every day?
Oh, yeah, I got the Chucks on. Here.
I mean, my God. Is that always going to be your thing?
And he's got Deadpool socks from the looks of it.
I do have Deadpool socks on. Yeah,
how did
you catch
that, Cakes? God.
Because Cakes is silly.
Because Cakes is a sneaky nerd, too.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Cakes is just like, Cakes is all into the movie stuff.
It's actually called mainstream. But you keep calling
Cakes,
it nerd.
Cakes, did you right? Cakes, did you ever go see The Tenet?
I did.
You never gave us your rating, did you?
No, I did
we
not
didn't talk about it.
Oh, yeah. I want to.
My buddy told me it was the worst thing he's ever seen. Right. So I want to know what Kicks.
I would give it.
Kevin saw it like five times.
Kevin thinks it's the best thing I've ever
first
created.
Of all, I did like the fact that we were very spread out in the theater. There were, right. I would say it was like a 5:30 showing, maybe a dozen, maybe 20 people in like just a cavernous IMAX theater.
And you felt safe and
felt safe,
good.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't sell tickets close to anybody. It looked like the fans in the Brown Stadium last night. I mean, they're all
106.7 The Fans?
All right, I've got a prediction on your rating. I put it in the Google Hangout, but don't look, Cakes. What are you
going
to give it?
I am going to give Tenet 2.5 Cake.
Oh, it was poopy. I knew it.
He hated it.
It's terrible.
Oh, you know what? Hated it.
Here's my bigger takeaway. I'm not into Christopher Nolan outside of the Batman movie. I'm not.
What's a signature
like
Christopher
Memento?
Nolan?
Inception, Interstellar. I'm not into him. Do it for me.
Well, why? What is special about his type of movies?
You can ask Kevin. Because apparently I'm lost on what
he does.
EB,
he does complicated movies that make you think. Like Memento was a movie done totally in reverse, right? It's a guy who forgot
Cakes is
everything.
Cakes is speaking a foreign language right now. I don't even know what the heck he just said.
Let me just tell you about Tenet, my experience. Saw it in IMAX.
JP.
I did appreciate the cinematography and a lot of the shots and the scenic nature of the movie. But first of all, it's incredibly loud. It was like being in an Iron Maiden Metallica concert all rolled into one. And it's so loud that you can't hear what the characters are saying for a good 50% of the movie. Really? So if you like movies like that where you can't figure out 50% or more of the conversation, then go see Tenet. Then that's the movie for you.
Okay, so
not the movie for me.
Cakes brings up two things that are very interesting to cover. One, it is the loudest movie I've ever seen. That is by design. Christopher, did you go to Tenet? Did you go to Tyson's, Cakes?
Yes, Ricky. Tyson.
Okay, so you saw it at Tyson's. I've seen it four times at that theater, so I know exactly how loud it is. But no, so Cakes is bringing up a point that's actually been in the news recently about Christopher Nolan's films where you can't hear some of the dialogue. And I think the point that what he's defended himself in the past was is that the sounds of the environment and the music of his films are just as important as dialogue elements. So, for example, if a character is in a loud environment, you're not going to be able to hear them as clearly because the characters can't hear themselves as clearly as well. And I think the whole point of it is more about the immersive experience. But Cakes brings up an interesting point. I'm not going to sit here and make fun of Cakes because he brings up a point that's very valid. I mean, there are elements of dialogue you cannot hear as you see it the first time. Now, Cakes, I will say this. But it's by design. My point being is that, like, as you lean forward, and because Christopher Nolan wants you to work. He wants you to watch the film and work. You don't sit back and just eat popcorn. You are working with the film. And if you don't like that style of filmmaking, then it's not for you. And I totally understand that. But I mean, I think a lot of people go to the movie theaters.
That's not the point of going to a movie, by the way.
It depends on what your point of escapism is. Like there are worlds of films like 2001's Stanley Kubrick's 2001. There are films that just, you know, that you immerse you so much that you become part of it. And the Tenet experience, for me at least, Cakes, I went and saw it the second and third time. I picked up on much more dialogue the second and third time because you're not overthinking it.
Cakes likes a nice, simple blockbuster, a nice Marvel movie.
Yeah.
That's what he's going for.
Give me a big monster. Give me Godzilla fighting another big monster. Right. Big explosions.
Now,
I will say the opening scene I thought was very well done. In the opera house, I thought that was very well done. But for me, it was like a Newfound Glory album after that. All downhill.
So after the first scene, you're kind of excited. You're thinking, all right, this is going to be legit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it sucked from then on.
You know what? I've come to realize I'm not a Christopher Nolan mark. And I just never will be.
So Cakes brings up a really interesting point. Cakes didn't like Interstellar. Cakes didn't like Inception. So it's almost like if you like Christopher Nolan's films, like Inception or Interstellar, then I think you will love Tenet. But if you don't like the way his films are made, and that's just a personal preference. That's all. I don't judge Cakes for having that opinion. I think a lot of people have that opinion sometimes about certain films, and I think this film is very hard to. It's very complicated.
Nolan's Batman movies, though.
Because those were more straightforward in regards to storytelling.
That's what I like. I like straightforward.
I liked Interstellar. I thought that movie was like that effective.
You talk about that all the time.
I really like that movie.
Because that's such an outlier for E.B. to like a science fiction movie. Yeah, West Side stands out.
Yeah, I really liked it. I don't know. It was moving to me. And I don't know. It was something about the kids and aging and the passage of time that it just affected me.
So Eric brings up Interstellar is my favorite movie that Christopher Nolan ever made. I have an Interstellar tattoo on my arm.
Oh,
and
how many tattoos are you up to, by the way?
I haven't got one in a while. I'm at like five now.
Are you ever going to do like a full sleeve?
No, I'm not going to do a full sleeve. But
You're just gonna have random tattoos.
No, I'm only gonna get a couple more. But I want to mention something about Interstellar that Eric brings up, which is very important. So Interstellar is like the reason Interstellar hit you that way, Eric, is there's a scene in Interstellar where Matthew McConaughey's character goes down to a planet called Miller's Planet, and on that sequence, every hour he spends on that planet due to gravity is 7 years on Earth. Mm-hmm. And so when he gets back from the trip, he's gone for 4 hours. 23 years on Earth have gone by. So he watches 23 years of footage of his kids growing up after only being gone for 4 hours. So all the messages his kids sent him over the past 23 years only happened in his mind over 4 hours. So he watches his kids have kids, get older, become adults. I think that's what probably affected Eric the most was McConaughey watching that footage and missing all those important parts of his child's life.
Yeah, the whole concept of that.
And that's the reason why Nolan's so brilliant is because he utilizes time to affect you emotionally. I mean, any parent, no matter what you're talking about in regards to sci-fi or, you know, the space-time continuum, gravity and how time is perceived and the things like that, regardless of that, the emotion of children and having family comes through that sci-fi element perfectly. And that's kind of why Interstellar works so well. It's my favorite Nolan film, no question.
Is this one anything like that? Not really.
I mean, Interstellar is pretty complicated. I mean, I'm surprised that you liked Interstellar if you don't love like a ton of sci-fi type of stuff.
I just don't watch them. I just haven't seen any.
Tenet is a very complicated film. I mean, Cakes, you know Eric better than I do. Do you think he's going to like Tenet?
No chance.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Kevin, but you didn't think I would like Interstellar, though. Like, Kevin, you can't believe I like that.
We only have a couple minutes. Were you coming on to talk about any new movies?
Yeah. So there's two films I want to talk about today. One of them is a Jason Bishop film, for sure. It's called The Devil All the Time. It's a new movie on Netflix. It's starring Robert Pattinson, Tom Holland, and Bill Skarsgård. Bill Skarsgård played the Pennywise character in It. It is one of the most deeply disturbing films I've ever seen. I watched it last night for the first time, and I had genuine nightmares last night.
The Devil All the Time. All right. By the way, I love Tom Holland.
Me too. And so he's the star of the film, Jason. So the concept of the film, here's the best way I would describe it. It's like The Place Beyond the Pines meets a movie called Frailty, which was a horror film that Bill Paxton directed years ago. And the concept of this story basically is this idea of like sinister characters and kind of how their lives affect their children and people into the future. And so just the idea of it's very, very heavily focused on religion and this concept of characters believing in certain things and doing violent things in the name of religion. I will say this, there are scenes in this film that I had to look away from. My wife had to look away from. I was actually genuinely shocked how brutal it was. Robert Pattinson's performance is absolutely astounding. Like, he's unbelievable in the film. Like, his accent is incredible. Tom Holland, you know, this is unlike anything you've ever seen from Tom Holland. If you're looking for Spider-Man Tom Holland, this is not that. This is a very disturbing and brutal experience. His character, his father in the film, Bill Skarsgård, there's just a lot of things that happened as a child that kind of play into who he becomes as an adult. It's really about like just that concept of religion and passing down to our children what we pass down from our past. It's very, very, very.
So what's your rating on that?
I gave it a 4.
All right, you gave it a 4. You got one other movie. Let's get to that one real quick.
I'm going to watch it today, hopefully.
Jason, just a heads up. I don't know if you guys are afraid of spiders. I'm definitely afraid of spiders.
Spiders.
There is a horrifying spider sequence, and honestly, one of the most disturbing dog scenes I've ever seen in a film. I mean,
it's a former Richmond spider, Kevin. Yeah.
They're not spiders like from the mist, like big giant spiders came through a time portal, are they?
This is a dude taking a jar of spiders and pouring it on his face and letting them crawl around. It's really messed up.
You just ruined my day. All right, so what was your other movie real quick, and what did you rate it?
The other film is called Antebellum. This is Janelle Monáe. It's a really, really messed up concept, really, to be honest with you. The basic premise of this film is so disturbing. Essentially, it takes place in present day, and there is a group of people who are kidnapping black people and taking them to Antebellum, and in this particular situation, they've recreated a Civil War atmosphere where they make the black people play out as slaves in the story. And that is how the story plays out. Janelle Monáe's character gets kidnapped and essentially taken to this recreated plantation, and she has absolutely no idea how she got there, but they've recreated the Civil War life. And it is like you have sequences where like planes will fly by and people are like confused because the film takes you back to that time. And the concept of it is to show you the systemic racism and how everything's been rooted in our history from the beginning and how a lot has not changed even in present day time. It's a very, very, very disturbing film. But the concept is truly terrifying. And I think Janelle Monáe did a brilliant job with the performance. I think it falls apart a little bit at the end, but the performances and the concept really nail home this idea that nothing has that things really haven't changed much in regards to systemic racism in our history. And it's a really, really scary.
What did you rate it?
I gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
3.5. So 4 for the first one. And a
all right,
three
the devil
and a half
all the time. All right.
I'll check it out. Yeah. I mean, it's a real, and also Antebellum, it's on VOD. So Devil All the Time is on Netflix. Antebellum is on VOD, and I think it's an important film, just a very deeply disturbing film.
And what's your breakdown on the Washington football team against the Arizona Cardinals? What does the Washington football team have to worry about heading into this matchup?
I have absolutely no idea. I know they won last weekend. I got really excited. Who's Ron Rivera? I keep hearing that name.
Yeah. He's the coach.
He's the tight end. He's the new tight end.
He's a quarterback.
Like a month.
He's money.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
All right. Thank
all
you,
right.
Kevin.
All right. See you later.
All right. Papa Squeezy. See you guys.
All right.
Later, Rick. Rick.
The devil all the time. I'm going to try and watch that tonight or tomorrow night.
You can follow him on Twitter at Kevin McCarthy TV. All right, coming up next, let's get back into it. EB, we hit the Skins at 6:45, and you gave us some of the nuggets about the Cardinals. Do people think they can pull this off and get to 2-0 against the Cardinals? 800-636-1067. Can the Washington defense, which had 8 sacks last week, make a difference and lead them to another win? 800-636-1067. We want to hear from Washington football team fans next here on the Junkies.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. We hit the Skins earlier today and got into the matchup, but we want to dive into it deeper now and open up the phone lines at 800-636-1067. The Washington football team pulled off an upset win in week one against the Eagles, led by 8 sacks. Chase Young made a huge impact. Ryan Kerrigan was a beast, even though he was only on the field for 22 snaps, one defensive player of the week in the NFC. Do you think they can do it this week against Arizona? It's a different monster. They face a quarterback who can move a heck of a lot better than Carson Wentz. Last week he ran the ball 13 times for 91 yards. He had scrambles of 22 and 25 yards. And Kyler Murray, his QBR, was only topped by Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, and Russell Wilson. So that tells you how well he played last week. But if you look at what happened last year, he was sacked the league high 48 times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the Washington defense showed in week one they can get after it. Now, it's going to be a little bit different because Cliff Kingsbury's offense, they run a lot of empty backfield. They run pretty much shotgun all the time for Kyler, right? Is he ever under center?
No, he likes to roll it. They like to – look, it's kind of like a college offense, up-tempo, a lot of pace, spread it out. He's doing a better job. From what I noticed, he did a better job of just getting out of the pocket, deciding to go, make a move. Last year, I think he's kind of sat in there a little bit too long, and then that's why he took a bunch of sacks. But at least in the game that I watched last week against the 49ers, he was bouncing and making a decision to go. And of course, last year didn't have Hopkins, so he's got a legit number one threat, too.
Yeah, I mean, he targeted Hopkins 16 times, so it's a different challenge for the defense. But if the Redskins, the Washington football team, are going to win, I think it's going to be about that defense turning him over, sacking him, and he was prone to be sacked a lot last year, at least.
Here's the thing. I actually think the defense is going to do its thing. I think it's the real deal, all right? So it's not going to have 8 sacks every week, obviously. But I think it's going to provide pretty consistent pressure as long as they can be, you know, reasonable against the run, which I think, you know, they're improving there too. I think the key to the game is the offensive line. And do they give enough time for Haskins to make a few plays? That's going to be the key. I think the defense will do their part. They'll certainly do, you know, their share of it. But the O-line, we'll know pretty early. Is Haskins going to be able to complete some passes? Are they going to be able to create some holes so that our running backs can get off a little bit better than they did last week?
Yeah, I think you need the threat of the running game to help Haskins open up the passing game. And if you're going to trot out Peyton Barber and he's getting you 2 or 2.5 yards per carry, then the Cardinals just load up on Haskins.
Remember, some of that with Barber was late when they were just running out the clock and everybody on TV knew.
But I mean, he's just not a dynamic guy. He's a guy not. who's gonna you know, find the end zone. He's gonna be a goal line threat. But I think they will dabble a little bit more with Antonio Gibson and try to get him some more explosive plays. But you're not going to score 14 or 17 against this Cardinals team and expect to win.
I will say this,
you have to
Eric,
get in the 20s.
The Cardinals secondary is pretty good because they've got Peterson. Everyone knows Patrick Peterson. They've got Dre Kirkpatrick, who's good. They've got Buda Baker is one of the best safeties in the league. He had, I think, 15 or 16 tackles last week. Mm-hmm. They got the Byron Murphy kid. They were making plays last week. They were. I mean, it's not like the 49ers have all these great threats in the passing game at receiver. They got some injuries, but they had Kittle. Now, Kittle got hurt, but for the most part, they contained Jimmy G in the passing game. But, look, I think Haskins is going to struggle anyway. I think the defense is going to have to play really well again and limit the chances for Murray. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see if he's gotten better over the week.
What's truly scary is just that early connection with Hopkins. Like, that many connections. That's truly scary.
And well, look, Hopkins, he has ridiculous hands.
Yeah.
I mean, he does not drop balls. It's unbelievable.
Right.
So if the ball's anywhere near him within a couple of feet, he's going to catch it. So it's not like he's got to be wide open. So, you know, they got to do a really good job of pressuring Murray.
I think it's going to be really tough. If they can pull off this win, though, I'll buy in. I think then definitely if they're 2-0, we have to amend all our season-long predictions. I'm not willing to move off it. I know when you look at the yardage total for the Washington football team offense, they're in 32nd place. That's dead last in the NFL. They benefited from short fields, and maybe the defense will be able to create some turnovers. Maybe the defense will get to Kyler. Maybe the defense will give them short fields again. But I need to see something from this offense.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What if they pull off kind of the same blueprint as last week? Like, it's totally led by the defense, and, you know, Haskins is just serviceable, and they eke out a dub. Are you going to evaluate? Or are you going to still say, no, I still need to see more?
If they pull off a win, look, there's a formula. We joked about it, but they pulled off a win that was reminiscent of when Alex Smith was starting for him. The quarterback didn't throw for 200 yards. I think the number was 178, which is an Alex Smith special. But the quarterback didn't turn it over. So Haskins was more a game manager. They didn't put up, you know, any sort of offensive numbers that would dazzle you, but they got the win because they won the turnover battle. So if they can do that, then yes, I'll buy in because maybe that will be their formula all season.
If they're able to fluster Kyler Murray and, you know, not let him rush for 100 yards and turn him over once or twice, they've got a great shot at winning. But if Kyler Murray goes off like he did against the Niners, I just don't think the Washington football team is going to have a great shot at winning.
And the Niners have a good defense. We want to hear from you. 800-636-1067. I know there are a bunch of homers out there that believe that the Washington football team can win. And I definitely think they can. I mean, you know, earlier when we were talking about it, Jason was saying, well, what's the biggest difference? And I think Eric rightly pointed out a couple of things with the defense. Number one, Chase Young. Number two, the coaching. And the coaching impressed me in that early in that game against the Eagles, it seemed like the tight ends were just tearing them apart, particularly in the middle of the field. And then later on, they forced Carson Wentz to start throwing to the outside, and that's where they got a couple of interceptions.
Yeah. I also think the coaching is going to factor in on the offensive side of the ball. Because remember, they didn't have any preseason. They didn't know how, you know, what was going to work, what wasn't going to work. You know, Haskins is new to these guys. You know, clearly those guys, anybody watch that sees when they run like no huddle stuff, hurry up offense, he seems to excel there. So maybe they're going to add a little more of that. They're going to find the plays that Gibson, you know, did a little better than others. I just think they're going to tweak things offensively, too.
Is anybody picking them, though? Last week, none of us,
I mean, I
except
did
for Valdez, picked them straight up. No, just to win.
I Let's picked them in the offseason. Yes, I picked them in the offseason.
Okay.
But I did. I said they're playing Arizona.
But now that they're 1-0, are you going to stick with them
it's hard
believe
to imagine.
That they get to 2-0?
It's hard to imagine them getting to 2-0, but I like them to cover. I love them to cover and steal it.
Straight up, I'm not picking them to win. I'm picking the Cardinals to win straight up. But I think it'll be close.
Jason, are you picking them?
He's never going to pick them.
I mean, look, I predicted four wins. I mean,
never going to pick them.
I mean, if they win, they're obviously going to have more than four wins. I just think, like I said a million times, I think that the offense will struggle unless they can create some turnovers and get short fields again. I just don't think Haskins and that offense can just march down the field for 80 yards and take some time off the clock.
Why can't they just run a methodical 13-play drive?
Because I don't think that Haskins is accurate enough right now.
He can be accurate on the short throws.
Unless they're killing it in the run game.
Right. Right.
Or he was missing short throws too.
Maybe you don't need a bunch of 13 and 15 play drives. Maybe you get a McLaurin over the top that beats Patrick Peterson for a 50-yard score.
Didn't we have somebody on recently that said the one thing they were raving about with Haskins was his deep ball? Were some guys saying that? I feel like we had somebody on that said that.
The problem is, as Cakes mentioned, and I mentioned this earlier, and if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, I'd be terrified of Chandler Jones. He had 19 sacks a year ago. 19.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Runner-up defensive player of the year.
Causes
and he's going
problems.
Up against Jaron Christian and Wes Martin.
Right. Well, he's got Alex Smith in his ear. They're not stupid. They know all about Chandler Jones. They're going to be talking about it all week.
Okay, every team does.
Okay.
Every team knows about Chandler Jones, and he still gets his.
Okay. I'm just saying, it's not a surprise. They know what's coming. He's got a great mentor in there in the quarterback room with him, working with him all week. I don't know. I think he might handle it okay. But then he needs to have a few – he needs to have a beat or two to decide. I mean, if he just slaughters those guys.
Here's one thing in their favor, EB. The kicker for Arizona is kind of poopy.
Really?
I think he missed a couple of kicks last week, and they already
you mean Gonzalez?
Are looking. They're already looking at another kicker. Apparently, they brought in Mike Nugent.
Oh, okay.
Hold on.
I think it's still Zane.
Zane Gonzalez. One of his misses is a 52-yarder.
Okay, fine.
He was one for three. I mean,
Cakes. They brought in another kicker. They don't bring in another kicker if they're completely happy and satisfied.
He was better than Gostkowski.
Yes,
was terrible.
Who missed four, right?
All right, let's bang out a few of these calls. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. Let's go to William. William, what's up, buddy?
Well, truthfully speaking, man, I think the run game is going to really be the reason why we win.
Ooh, okay.
Because last week we didn't really get much on the run game.
Right.
And see, what you have to do, you have to use the – you got a three-headed monster back there, first of all. And you got to use whoever's really making a home run hitter. You got to come up with somebody that's going to really at least get 5 to 10 yards each term.
Wow, that's easy.
Five or ten.
By using three-headed monster, you're implying they're threatening. They weren't really a threat in week one.
So who do you like?
They were not a threat in week one, but they really didn't get off because they weren't getting off the blocks. The blocks was terrible last week. Come on, man.
Right.
Why is that going to change?
And so I'm looking for Ron Rivera to come up with another scheme to actually be able to get that blocking fixed.
Right.
He might need to come up with some new personnel instead of a scheme.
Right.
So, but
I can't say call Donald Penn.
But he got some other people. But he got some other people too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're worse than the guys
that are on
the field.
I didn't think he was going to win that. That spot. Be honest with you, and I still don't think he ready.
Right.
Well,
right.
He did win the spot.
Yeah.
Well,
Or they just gave it to him.
Well, Sadiq Charles was also hurt all preseason, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. All right. Thank you, William. Appreciate it, buddy.
It's also being overly reliant on a fourth round rookie.
Right.
Where's Warsaw, by the way? Is that like Is he one of our
Poland?
Poland, silly capital.
So, yeah. No, I know, but he's Warsaw, Virginia. So is that like near Richmond or something? Or
Norfolk?
I know
where Arlington is. I know where Richmond is. Okay. I know where Alexandria is.
He had a Richmond zip code.
It's
so.
Richmond County.
Yeah. But we are freaking killing it in Richmond.
Has a population of 1,489. Very small town.
Let's go to Earl. Laurel, I might be buying a house in Richmond. Earl!
How you doing? Earl from Lowe's Man DoorDash. How y'all doing today?
Hey, man. You sound a little better today. How are you?
Doing good. I feel as though my Redskins are going to get this job done.
Right.
Very simply. We have a coach now which we didn't have since Gibbs, and I love our defense. It's going to give us a chance to win any game we step into the field with.
I actually think that's true, that the defense does give them a chance because they're going to be, you know, games where they just force turnovers. We saw that in week one.
Oh, there's no doubt. They're going to keep them in games. I mean, they're going to have a shot most games. I went through the schedule. I'll tell you, there's only a couple where I say they probably don't have much of a shot, the Ravens being one of them. But
Cakes,
most of the others,
set the
they look pretty good.
Over under on strip sacks for Chase Young after what you saw in week one, what would you set it at?
I'd definitely
set it at 0.5. And I would go over.
No, not for the week, for the season.
Oh, for the season.
Oh, 10.
10 strip sacks.
Strip sacks is a lot.
That's an under. I would say that's an under.
I'd probably set the number at like 5.5.
Oh, I don't know, man.
Well, yeah, that's still a great number.
It's kind of tasty.
It's a fantastic number.
Dude, he had two. He basically had two last week.
I know, but he's to strip the quarterback? You think he's going to have 10? That'd be unbelievable.
Know,
then you're talking defensive player of the year.
8 to 10. I don't know. He did it twice the first week.
Oh, yeah, but he was going up against a sieve of an offensive line.
All right. It was enough to get me sized.
Warsaw, by the way, not near Richmond. That's Richmond County's not Richmond. Just want to let you know.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Here's what will be the dagger. So, like, if they go out and the defense plays, you know, pretty well and they just don't score enough and it's just it is what it is, okay, that's fine. But if the defense gets lit up, then it's gonna feel hopeless.
Uh-oh.
You know, if the defense gets lit up and it was just like kind of a fluke, it's going to feel hopeless.
They can't get into a 17 zippy hole again. You can't do that. You just can't do that.
No.
Because the odds of coming back from those are not good.
Right.
No. The defense needs to ball out. If they don't, because that's what's going to give us hope. That's what's more exciting to watch in the offense right now. I can't ever remember that.
Hey, EB, you're going to be excited when Logan Thomas scores another touchdown.
Well, that's what he does, Cakes. That's what he does. He's Mr. Red Zone. Mr. Red Zone to you.
That's right. And the Cardinals are the worst at covering tight ends.
They are?
Yes. Last year, the worst in the league.
Oh, good.
The worst.
Well, it's not like we have a bunch of them to take advantage of that.
Right.
But, you know,
you know what? All you need is one, EB.
You don't have a bunch of George Kittles.
Right. No.
Nope.
Not yet.
Anyway, September is Virginia Spirits Month.
Nice.
The great state of Virginia. All right. So Virginia Spirits Month, and nobody celebrates it better than my good friends over at KO Distilling in Manassas. All month long, KO's Battle Standard 142 Navy Strength Gin and Bare Knuckle Small Batch Wheat, Rye, and Bourbon Whiskeys are all on sale at your Virginia ABC stores and at the distillery in Manassas. Virginia residents can even order online, and they ship it right to the house.
Ship it!
For more about KO Distilling, including cocktail recipes, distillery tours, which we've taken, and it's awesome. Upcoming special events, all you got to do is visit kodistilling.com, or you can check them out on Facebook. Remember, Cakesy, always drink KO responsibly.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business.
From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan on a football Friday. We've got John Feinstein joining us at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. Mike Rizzo, the Nats GM, is going to join us at 9. And we're going to get some winners from Stucky, who's the sports betting analyst for the Action Network. He'll join us at 9:40. If you missed our fatties, you can go to our Twitter account, at Junks Radio, where we listed them out. We finished 4-2 collectively in week one. We each made our picks, including the Matt and Matt Show, the boys behind the glass. So you can check that out at Junks Radio or use the rewind feature on the radio.com app and go back in time to hear our fatties. Right now, time for the Junkies Blitz. We'll go around the NFL. Well, I'll give you the top five matchups of the weekend. I got to tell you, I looked at the card. There aren't many great games. So it was kind of tough to figure out the top five. So I kind of picked storylines that I like.
Well, let me just say this. There aren't great matchups, but there are huge games in that these teams, if they fall to 0-2, we know the percentage of making the playoffs. Now, they did add an extra team to the playoffs.
Correct.
But if you fall to 0-2, that's a pretty big hole, and there are a bunch of teams at 0-1 that need to win.
No, they're important games for the teams. I'm just saying there aren't that many sexy matchups.
Oh, they're all sexy. We can bet on them, right, Jason?
And if you're in fantasy leagues.
Every single one.
At number five, start with the 1 o'clock games on Sunday. The Buccaneers, who are 0-1, host the Carolina Panthers. Kind of an icy response yesterday from Tom Brady when he was asked about Bruce Arians' critical comments of his two interceptions.
Yep.
Brady said, he's a coach, I'm a player, just trying to win a game.
Well, it might be tougher for him to win this weekend. Chris Godwin in the concussion protocol.
He didn't practice yesterday. It's not good.
And, you know, Mike Evans was limited to one catch for a short touchdown in week one. Don't know how his hamstring's holding up at this point, but they would need one of those two guys to take the field to really have a good chance of winning. I would think Scotty Miller, you plug him in, he can fill in for one of those guys if need be. But
Scotty Miller is that typical Brady you know, the Brady receiver
type.
That he likes.
The tonic.
The short, quick, white guy out of the MAC conference.
Right.
And he's got good hands, good slot guy. But Evans has to play. If Godwin's not playing, Evans has to play.
And a good tonic, though, is the Carolina Panthers defense coming to town.
And look
Gave
for
34
Brady.
34 points against the Raiders in
Look
week
for Brady
one.
To target O.J. Howard a lot.
One thing for fantasy football players to make note of.
Yep.
McCaffrey did find the end zone twice for Carolina in week one. The new head coach says he wants to give McCaffrey about 25 to 28 touches. However,
that's a lot.
He did say he wants to work in number two running back Mike Davis in a little bit more against the Buccaneers.
Okay, that's fine.
They may be trying to lighten the load on McCaffrey.
I get bitter when I hear that.
Look at McCaffrey's usage last year. I understand there's a new guy, but when you see plodding, slow Mike Davis instead of electrifying Christian McCaffrey, I think he may change his tune.
Right. Number four, I've got the Lions game against the Packers, also a 1 o'clock game. The thing which surprised me here as I looked at it, so the Packers, they beat them both times last season. Both were on game-winning field goals. So Detroit has hung tough. Green Bay was able to pull it out. Of course, in week one this year, the Packers looked very impressive, particularly
destroyed
Aaron Rodgers,
Minnesota,
who threw for over 364 yards against the Minnesota Vikings. The Lions easily could have won in week one against the Bears.
Well, they should have won.
I'm sure DeAndre Swift has been having nightmares about the drop. So, interesting game. Here's Lions a terrible stat for Matt Patricia.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
The Lions have lost 11 games that they led in the fourth quarter as he's been coached since
that is
wow. 2018.
He's going to be gone.
They
He'll
need Jeff Okuda, who didn't play in week one, their top draft pick out of Ohio State, for this one. Because Trufant went out with a hamstring injury. Another corner for the Lions went out in the game against the Vikings with a hammy. And the last thing you want is to be down a bunch of corners facing Aaron Rodgers on his revenge tour.
Cakes, here's a question. Do I play Adrian Peterson as my second RB?
I guess you could do worse. I mean, he had a really nice debut leading that backfield in week one.
Mm-hmm.
You might be forced to. I don't know what your other options are, but you could do worse.
They're not great.
Apparently they're not.
Hmm.
Is it a PPR league?
Yeah, I'm in all PPR leagues.
Okay.
Either half or full.
Peterson, of course, had 93 yards on 14 carries in his Lions debut. Matthew Stafford, by the way, has fared very well in his career against the Green Bay Packers. He's thrown for 5,186 yards against them, the most of any Packers opponent, with 34 touchdowns against the Packers, although he's only gone 7-11 in the 18 previous games.
Another problem for him this weekend, though, could be the availability of Kenny Galladay.
Right.
Missed week one, hasn't practiced to this point with the hamstring injury, so I wouldn't expect him to play, barring some miraculous turnaround.
And Bickle, make sure he's not in your starting lineup. Pay attention.
No, I got him out.
He's number out. Three matchup.
I got
also,
Steven Sims replacing him, though. Ugh.
That's a drop-off.
Can't do any better than that.
Also, a 1 o'clock game, you've got the Titans hosting the Jaguars. The Titans have won six straight against the Jaguars, but, of course, Jacksonville surprised us, winning last week to get to 1-0. So one of those teams will get to 2-0. The Titans haven't been 2-0 since 2008.
Would you like Jacksonville plus 15?
In a tease?
Yeah. I mean, they played pretty tough.
I kind of like that. I don't like them winning because do you know how few times they've won in Tennessee since they've become a franchise?
No, I have no idea.
Six out of 25.
Yeah.
their winning percentage there is not good. It's no
good. Right. Look for a big day from Derrick Henry. The Jaguars ranked 28th in the NFL against the run last year. Henry had 203 yards and three scores in two games against them.
A.J. Brown got nicked up with a knee bruise.
Yeah, what's his availability?
What he's listed as questionable. I don't know whether he's going to play or not.
I really hate when these players are questionable all the way up until like a half hour before kickoff.
It sucks.
I need to know today.
All right, number two matchup. I've got the Ravens in Houston to take on the Texans. So you've got Lamar Jackson against Deshaun Watson there. And then, to me, the most intriguing game on the board, it's the Patriots in Seattle to take on Russell Wilson. Bill Belichick said Russell Wilson looks to be the best quarterback in the game right now. And, of course, he was unbelievable last week, 31 for 35, four touchdowns.
Matt Valdez is very upset. You just glossed over the Ravens-Texans game.
Yeah, well, he also told me we got to go to break.
Gave it the short shrift.
I'm torn on that one. Do you like
on what
I'm not torn
Ravens.
On that one. Bet the Ravens.
Why are you torn?
Well, I like telling the number. I mean, I don't know. I feel like the Texans are decent. I don't know why everyone just disrespects them. I know Cakes hates Bill O'Brien.
Last time they played, the defense feasted, had eight sacks against the Texans. And then I think
so
after that game, they
feel pretty confident. Because I'm going to put it in
a teaser. Texans can't stop the run. And even though the Ravens only had like 62 yards rushing from the running backs last week, I expect them to feast on the ground on Sunday.
All right, I'm going to take your Ravens and the Niners in another teaser. That's what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, I mean, the Niners can't lose to the Jets.
Yeah, I want to put the Niners in twice. Uh-oh. I want to tease the same game.
They just can't.
Right.
If they do, they're 0-2, and that's
then it's over. Season's over if you lose to the Jets. I'm sorry. Yep. It just is. Right. All right, coming up next, it's best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.